Wall Street gets a blank check, but Main Street can't borrow a dime. Public employees get a free pass, while the private sector picks up their tab. Who's fighting for business, and how do we turn things around? Welcome back to the second hour of Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing on FM News 101 KXL.
And welcome back. It's 7 minutes after 5 o'clock here on the final Sunday in September as we move into the fourth quarter of 2011. Some key economic information straight ahead. Welcome back to Business Briefing. I'm Brian Bushlack, and we now have our economic expert, Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, based right here in Lake Oswego, joining us on the phone here this Sunday afternoon. Pat, thanks for taking time out of your weekend to share your insight. And we had coffee week before last, and you had told me during that conversation you feel somewhat optimistic about what's going on with the economy. Fill us in on why.
Well, there's a gentleman locally that really is an economic expert, Bill Carnley, and he publishes a Bizonomics blog. And one of the things that he highlighted recently was money supply growth. And, you know, interestingly enough, after QE1, we saw a sharp spike in money supply growth, M2. And actually, money supply growth went negative in mid-2008, right after the financial meltdown. QE1, flooding the system with liquidity, caused money supply growth to spike up to almost 2.4% by the end of 2008. That didn't last a long time. It dropped, you know, but it did avert a major depression. I think everybody would acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. It dropped back down in early 2009 to about 0.5% and stayed between 0 to 0.5% money supply growth from early 2009 through the end of 2010. And people said that QE2 was a failure because it didn't really increase lending or increase money supply. And the Fed increased banking system's reserves, but they ended up in excess reserves held by banks instead of getting into the economy. But interestingly enough, it seems to have finally worked, starting with an uptick in June of this year and then a spike in July, which is continuing in August. Money supply growth is back up over 2%. Historically, when you have money supply growth, M2 growth at that level, within 6 to 9 months, you see an expansion in the economy, and it's almost a direct correlation. So certainly hoping it happens this time. There's every reason to believe it will be, because really if you step back and look at what happened to us, and we've talked about it before in your program, we had tremendous leverage. We had over $52 trillion of credit market debt in our economy. The end result of that is that we've had a credit crunch because we had to recapitalize the lending institutions, fix the financial system, and underwriting standards got extremely difficult for any type of loan. And basically, yeah, we're building reserves at the banks, but none of the money was going into the economy. So when you see M2 grow like this, this means that you're going to have cash available and loans available for small business. You're basically going to have a economy restart, if you will, starting next spring. So I'm optimistic. This is the first real substantial good news that we've seen in a long time that's empirical. So sort of excited about it. We'll see what happens, but it gives me room for optimism.
That's good to hear. Moving through the 5 o'clock hour here on a Sunday afternoon with Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. And Pat, the business owners, executives, and decision makers who listen to the show want to know, is this a situation where, hey, the banks are going to start lending a little bit more? Are they going to loosen things up a little bit? Are bigger businesses, the big companies, going to loosen things up a little bit and start hiring? Will this flow through to Main Street?
I think it will. You know, there's a misconception that, you know, and Brian, you and I have talked about this many times, we are subject to a constant political debate in our country and in the media. So there's a misconception out there that companies are sitting on cash hoards because of uncertainty. I don't buy into that. I don't think that's really why they're sitting on cash hoards. I think they're sitting on cash hoards because they don't know where they can get money. Money's not available. Capital isn't available in the market very easily. So they've been saving their money in case they need it, not because of uncertainty. Well, if you have the credit market start working again and you have a situation where a business owner can go get a loan, he isn't as compelled to save money for a rainy day. So this is, to me, I think we're seeing a turn here. Now, how dramatic it'll be, how sustained it'll be, I don't know. I think it is a direct result of QE2. It took a little bit longer this time, but I do think it's a result of that, and I do think it will cause our growth to start again and to people to be a little bit more optimistic at the Main Street level.
WFG National Title, based here in Lake Oswego, and Patrick Stone is the president and CEO. He's run Fortune 500 companies, well-connected with folks on Wall Street and Main Street. And, Pat, when we had coffee a couple weeks ago, we talked about the dreaded double dip. What are the odds on that? Do you think we'll dip back into a recession, or are we in one?
Well, I don't think we're in one, and I don't think, my instinct right now, Brian, is that we will not slip back into a recession. With one caveat, and that is the European situation. That's that's a fairly big unknown out there that affects us all, and we'll get into that more later. But I don't think we will. What we've seen here with contraction is a couple things. We talked a little bit about companies keeping their cash because they're not sure if they're going to have cash available, if they're going to have credit available. So people have been fairly conservative on investments. People have been very conservative on deploying assets. The other thing that has happened is we've taken about 1.2% of economic growth off the table by cutting back at local, state, and federal levels. I mean, there's still a lot of political debate out there. If you listen to the politicians, you would think there have been no cuts at all. There have been significant cuts. You know, basically the original stimulus packages run out. We've had reductions in payroll. We've had layoffs. We've taken a lot out of the economy by cutting back on government expenditures, right or wrong. And I'm not arguing either side of the coin. I'm just saying the net impact is that it has shrunk our economy. You take that, you take a very conservative posture at the business level, and then you take all the uncertainty in the world, and we've been limping along. So I don't think we're going to slide back into recession. I'm not surprised that the growth rate is where it is today. I do think, based on the increase in liquidity, that we will see growth next year, but it'll probably still be in the 2% range, 2 to 3% range. It's going to take a long time to get back to a normal market. We still, to the extent that we deleverage greatly, that's great, but we almost are doing more refinancing than deleveraging. So it's going to take a while to get us back to a healthy situation.
And that leads us to our next question, Pat, and we talked about this as well, and this could be a show all by itself. We have about 90 seconds to hit this one on deleveraging, and I think that it's finally becoming clear to folks on Main Street and a lot of people who weren't impacted by the recession itself that we're in for this long haul process to get out of this.
We absolutely are, and I think housing and real estate have taken pretty much a black eye or a lot of the blame for the recession. And some of that absolutely is justified. That was certainly the part of the market that got turned into a balloon this time. I mean, it was probably the straw that broke the camel's back. Unfortunately, in normal economic recoveries, home construction is one of the prime drivers to growth as you come out of a recession. Well, we're not having any home building right now, as evidenced by the statistics that came out this morning. I think 535,000 units on an annualized basis. So that part of our economy is really, really depressed, and that's probably a million to a million and a half jobs that are off the table. So, it's just a lot of things. It's going to take a while to use up the excess housing supply, probably another 2 years before you get back to normal. Normal residential construction and all the jobs and economic activity that surround buying a home. So it's just going to take a while. I mean, that doesn't sound like a very intelligent thing to say, but that's what it is. It's just going to take time.
It is going to take time, and it's great insight. And I think most people now realize that. And, as we talked about, it could be 5 to 7 years more, and we're already, what, 3-plus into this. So it's been an interesting ride so far, and it will continue to be. We also have major concerns, big concerns, on what's going on in Europe. Some people say, why does that impact us? Well, we'll find out up next. We'll talk with Pat about the odds of a Greek default, not if, but when they default. We'll talk about that and class warfare, the Buffett rule. Is Obama engaging in class warfare by targeting the rich? We'll talk with our economic expert, Patrick Stone, about that and much more as we continue in our next segment here on Business Briefing.